This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast. I'm Andy Davis and I'm the Managing Editor of Taylist Media. Now, I'm really pleased to say, unlike episode 1, we've got a full complement of our Taylist editors here. So we met you, Elspeth, in episode 1, didn't we?
Yes, you did. Very exciting it was too.
Oh, I didn't get carried away. So we'll move on to you. Well, let's go around the table. We've got Elspeth here.
Editor of Studio Magazine.
And I'm Lindsay Blair. I am the editor of Kitchens, Bedrooms or Bathrooms Magazine, or KBB Magazine for short, because it's a bit of a mouthful.
And I'm Rebecca Nottingham, the editor of KBB Review Magazine. Hi, everyone.
It's all very well spoken, isn't it? Part of the whole point of this is to give everyone a little glimpse into what we spend our life doing. So we're going to start this episode with a feature that I'm naming opening of an envelope.
Oh, I like it. We have been to recently.
Yes, so what have we been doing this, you know, what have we been doing recently? And I'm going to start with you, Bex, okay. Because in our last episode, you were in Gibraltar.
That's right.
You clearly made it back without getting ravaged by apes.
Yep. I'm disappointing I didn't actually see any apes.
And you see, that's that. What else is there in Gibraltar other than apes?
A big rock.
That's what Gibraltar is. What is in Gibraltar?
Well, iTech Design is in Gibraltar, okay. Andy. And they're the guys I went to see. So I went to, I thought it would be an interesting angle on our, obviously in KBB Review, we do regular catch-ups with retailers. And I thought it would be an interesting angle to actually go and speak to a retailer in Gibraltar who technically are part of the UK. And just to sort of see how their business works, and particularly with the Brexit issue hanging over their heads, in some ways they are already sort of a bit more prepared than retailers in the UK.
More importantly, was it hot?
It was very hot. Yes, was it? Yeah.
Lucky. I mean,
we did have a few. Yeah, we did have a nice lunch by the harbour.
Yeah, all right, whatever. So, Linz, you've got to top a nice lunch by the harbour in Gibraltar.
Well, it's not as exotic as Gibraltar, but I did go up to Chester recently for the Bathroom Manufacturers Association conference.
Yes, we were all there.
Yes, which was a good day. And I was on a panel, which was all about bathroom trends, which was really interesting discussion, what's happening in bathroom design, what's forecast in bathroom design, and a lot to do with lifestyle and multi-generational living, which is, as we all know, on the rise, more people under one roof and how our bathrooms can really cope with that. And then, of course, sustainability, which is a huge talking point right now.
Well, we did record a special version of the podcast with that very panel, so that will come up probably in a couple of episodes.
We did indeed.
I think.
One not to miss.
Yes, but you've just literally closed this issue of KBB as well, haven't you?
Yes.
So I'll let you off for not going out of the office very much for that.
Yeah.
So give us a rundown, what's in this month's issue?
So right now the November issue is on sale and it's a consumer magazine, so it's all about how consumers can achieve their dream kitchen, bedroom, bathroom. So the latest issue is all about kitchen islands. So we have advice and inspiration in there about achieving that dream kitchen island, which, as we know, lots and lots of homeowners have at the top of their wish list. We also actually have a very informative feature on bathroom lighting, what you need to know about IP ratings and basically how to make it safe.
Again, the most important question is, are there any dogs or babies in this month's issue?
I don't think we've got any babies. I think there might be a couple of dogs. I mean, if I've got anything to do with it, there'll be definitely dogs.
Well, there is a strict editorial policy, yeah, as we know.
There is.
Now, Elspeth, you get invited to the really glamorous stuff, so where have you been to?
I've been to Decorex last week. Lots of inspiration there, beautiful things, colour pattern, lighting, still very, very important throughout the home. And lots of nice interior designers for me to chat to, so I had a very nice time.
You went to the Anthony Gormley?
I went on Sunday to the Anthony Gormley, yes, absolutely fantastic. I'm a big fan of Anthony Gormley ever since seeing The Angel of the North, and he's also got some installations near me down in Folkestone. It's really worth seeing. It was quite a queue to get in, so you would get your tickets, but very much worth it.
Because where I'm from, in Crosby, in Merseyside, is where the Anthony Gormley Another Place installation is.
Oh, is that where all the people standing in the sea?
Yeah, that's the beach, yeah. I grew up on.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, see, so it's famous for two things now.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's where I'm from and where there's lots of Anthony Gormley statues.
Oh. Are you suggesting that that's better than the Angel of North?
Yes. Of course I am.
There is a blue plaque there as well to say that Andy was born there, so, you know, it's It's very important.
Now, because I never go anywhere, I'm introducing a new feature called Survey of the Week.
Should we have a jingle for that? Survey of the Week.
We have one
next
now.
Time, Bex.
So what we, because obviously what we get lots of surveys and stuff sent in to us, results of surveys. So this is my favourite one of the week that I'm going to test you on to see if you can guess what the answers were.
So this is a one that's come in?
Yeah.
Right, okay, I thought you were going to survey us for a minute.
No, because that would be a very limited sample size.
It would be very dull.
No, this is a survey that Retailer Bathroom Planet has done, and this is a classic bit of PR stuff here, but they've asked 1,000 UK homeowners what their top bathroom product would be if money were no object. So what do you think it is? This is a bit like Family Fortunes, isn't it?
I'm going to go shower toilet.
Right, okay.
Or washlet.
Or washlet, yes.
I think I would say, I want to say spa bath. You know, the baths with all the bubbles in them.
Okay, well, what are you going to go for, Liz?
I'm going to go for a fully tanked wet room.
Okay, right. Well, the top five here, in reverse order. And number five here was designer tiles. That's the thing. If their money were no object, they would go for designer tiles, wow. Whatever that means.
I don't really know.
Although Magazine Stylist did a really interesting feature all about tiles recently, because it's such a phenomenon at the minute, driven by Instagram and social media, that people are investing in statement tiles.
But what's the difference between a tile and a designer tile?
I mean, there's so many just really good tiles.
I guess pattern, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Number four was wet room at 10%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lindsay.
Number three, smart taps.
Interesting.
Okay.
Now, what do we
class as a smart tap?
I don't know.
Because
the first thing that came into my head was, sensor. I've been writing about this for 17 years.
I don't think they exist.
Do you think?
Weird kung fu movements to actually get it on when you're in a public loop.
Yeah. Are they getting confused with, like, boiling water taps in kitchens?
I don't know. I can only assume it means smart as in it measures your water use or something. I don't know. Number two was hot tub baths.
Yay, to me.
With 22%. And number one, now forgive me for being a little cynical here, but number one was digital showers.
Oh, right.
29%. If money was no object, people would have digital showers.
Interesting.
So what do you think? What does that tell us about people's...
Well, it shows that the message about technology in the bathroom is getting out there, isn't it? Because I wasn't sure how many consumers were aware of digital showers, actually.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I would have put...
Or smart taps. Yeah. So that is showing that people are being quite aware of... I would have thought big rain shower.
I would have said the opposite. So I would have said that digital showers now, I would have thought most consumers, that's just a given.
I think the frequency at which the bathroom's actually renovated, maybe people actually haven't renovated their bathroom for 5 to 10 years, possibly. So now the smart conversation is happening. They're only just becoming aware because they're in that moment.
Yeah, so we've been exposed to it for such a long time. We kind of think, it's been out there for a really long while. Yeah. But it takes your refurb time to get round to it. Because certainly at the top end of design, which is slightly more the area that I look at, digital can be considered quite ugly. And, you know, people are looking more to, sort of like you were saying, Andy, a big rain shower with just a lovely, big, hefty lever control. I think people are still looking more at the design end. Whereas I think a lot of digital things can look a little bit clunky.
I think the clever aspect of that digital, I think you touched on it on your panel discussion at the BMA, Lindsay. It's more how digital products will change lives is when we don't actually start to see them.
When we don't see them.
You know, when it's hidden and actually that's when... You know, it really will take...
It's truly smart design because it actually fits in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, you get it now in homes, don't you, with, like, Sonos speakers and, you know, hidden technology that you don't necessarily have to see it, but it's there, and that's where I think the beauty of smart is the ability to sort of hide this tech, and it just becomes...
So we live with it rather than making a statement of it.
Yeah, because I think that came up, didn't it? The bathroom is a sanctuary. Nobody, you know, it's somewhere that actually we should leave digital out of technically.
Yes.
However, the way the innovations are going, we won't be able to see it, but it will be there, and that's where it would make our lives much, much easier and, you know, be much more beneficial.
Well, it just enhances it rather than being, making a big play of it.
Now, I'm really pleased to let everyone know that the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast is brought to you in association with our very good friends at KBB Birmingham 2020, the biggest kitchen, bedroom and bathroom exhibition in the UK. It's happening between March the 1st and 4th next year at the NEC, and we'll be there doing live versions of this very podcast. And if that doesn't put you off, go to kbb.co.uk to register your place now. Now, as we're all here for the first time on this Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast, I thought it was worth getting our views on what we think the state of the kitchen and bathroom design market is. So here's our question that I'm posing, our essay question. Are we in a golden age of design in this market, or are we in the doldrums? Lindsay, let's start with you.
I think it's tempting to say that we are on a downturn because of the B word, which Rebecca already mentioned, Brexit.
Sorry.
But I think from my perspective, working on the consumer magazine and working with people who are actually renovating their homes, I think there is still this passion for improving rather than moving. I think that's definitely a trend. And with that comes, if you want to term it the golden age of bathroom design or kitchen design, then yes, I think we are still seeing positive results there.
See, I'm not as convinced by that. Maybe it's because I'm an old cynic and I've been doing this a very long time, but I don't see anything drastically incredibly new. I see lots of variations on themes. But at the end of the day, the same products are still the same sizes.
But it's how you treat them. And I would like to bring in the I word, which is the Instagram effect. And I was talking to an interior designer recently who does a lot of work with toilets at bars and restaurants. And he was saying increasingly when he's briefed, he's asked to make it Instagrammable, because when people are out and about, obviously they're taking photos of their cocktail and what they're eating, but they also go in the loo and take photos of what the loo looks like. So that can be coloured sanitary ware, really dramatic wallpaper. And just as we saw the effect of, you know, a lot of people used to ask for hotel-style bathrooms, meaning very minimal and clean, I think people are going to start asking for hotel-style bathrooms, meaning this very overly decorative. And that's great news, because that's different coloured taps and decorative tiles, as we've already mentioned, coloured sanitary ware. And I think that really will shake the whole, particularly in bathrooms. I think they're showing a very dramatic design potential at the moment.
But that's all very on the surface, though, isn't it? Because a tap's still a tap and a toilet's still a toilet.
So I mean, what do you mean? You're just talking about the sanitary ware?
Well, I suppose I'm talking about the palette of products that are available to designers to really, you know, wield their skills. Modular kitchens are still the same modular kitchens they were 10 years ago.
But that's because they still have to perform a function. You know, I would have to agree with Lindsay. I think, you know, personally, you know, having been in the industry for a long time now, it always surprises me how, and maybe I'm not quite as cynical as you, Andy, but I always go to these shows and think, oh, what else am I going to see? And yes, you do see variations on the same things, but very often there's just a couple of standout innovations that you think, wow, you know, what? How can they top that next year? And then you actually go again to another show and you see something else. Is it a golden age of design? I would have to say I think it is, but it's an evolving thing as well. You know, I don't think we're ever going to reach that peak. There's always changes coming in that may, you know, and I think the palette of things that designers have to work with now is so vast that, to be honest, that, you know, the possibilities are endless. However, at the end of the day, Mr. and Mrs. Smith going into a retailer have an idea of how they want their bathroom. So maybe that's what's halting potential.
I suppose it's about innovation to me. It's about where the actual innovation is. We went through a whole period where everything was about property market and how expensive your house was. And when everything was about the value of your house, it got very transient. You know, you would put in the kitchen that you thought would sell your house. And then we went into a whole period of austerity. And the trouble with austerity is people get very nesting and they watch where their money is, and they tend to try and invest in things that will last a long time, and therefore the product development doesn't necessarily lead to huge leap forwards in innovation. And so my sort of question about the golden age of design is whether or not we are seeing evolutionary leaps forward in design. I'm not entirely sure that we are, apart from one area which we've already touched on, which is how technology is integrating itself with the kitchens and the bathrooms. In particular, the idea of the smart home and what that can lead to. I think we're only in the very, very early stages of what that can possibly be. But I think what we can see now is where we will end up. We're just not sure how we're going to get there just yet.
I think a lot of it depends on, like Rebecca saying, Mr. and Mrs. Smith come into a showroom, and unless you're really savvy and done lots and lots of research, which we always encourage, of course, but not everyone does that, people still rely on their designers to push them. And I think that's maybe what's missing in being able to achieve these more transformational things. As if someone goes in, well, I want my shower there, bath there, are they being pushed enough by that designer? Does the designer need to come in and say, well, did you know actually you can get a shower screen that's much thinner and frameless, or you can get a vanity unit that is more compact in size, and then you might be able to reconfigure the layout to achieve really what you want.
Don't you think that is being influenced by Instagram though, Lindsay? Do you think people are going into showrooms with their Instagram pictures and saying, I've seen this picture of a bathroom at, you know, Soho Hotel, and I just love how they use jungle wallpaper?
Absolutely, definitely. And I think there is definitely a market for that, but there are others who maybe aren't exposed to that and don't look there. They might just think, right, we need the bathroom redoing because it hasn't been done for 10 years. Yeah. Let's just go into our nearest bathroom retailer and see what they think.
But I think the spread down the market of design is what's really happened in the last 10 years, is that you, what was considered a very top-end look 10 years ago, you can now achieve right at the bottom level of it. And if you can get a very nice-looking kitchen from Wren, which looks a bit like the kind of kitchens you can get at top-end level, then that's really what is influencing the market. Mm. It's what the people right at the top are doing to innovate design to bring the next level of sort of catwalk fashion that will then drip down to the market that's really sort of hesitating or a bit.
Well, I think that's going to come from materials, because I think there is, I think there's finally a swing away from grey kitchens. I think kitchens have been fairly dull for quite a few years because they've been just used as the backdrop to the living area. But I think the looking, there's a big move to heritage and natural materials, and seeing at the top end sort of rough wood, you know, natural stones, all sorts of alternatives coming in. The shapes are always going to be the same, but this sort of colour and depth of finish coming through is bound to filter down.
And this combination of number of different textures.
It can look like
materials.
A dog's dinner, but when you see it done well. So
exactly. I mean, that was certainly something, something else I've been out and about at was Hausmesse in Germany recently. And that's where all the big manufacturers open up their showrooms and invite retailers and just general clients from all over the globe to see their new innovations. And actually feedback from one of the retailers that I met there was that last year for them was all about innovation in the furniture. So I don't know whether that was changes to how the cabinetry looked and opened and, you know, how it all worked. But this year they were really excited that it was all about design innovation, and actually it was all about mixing textures, mixing finishes, lots of new colours coming through, like dark, moody hues, a lot of black, matte is massive, and different types of glass, metallics. I mean, there was also a big push for the sort of Scandinavian look. Now, whether that'll be big in the UK, you know, who knows, but it certainly seemed to me like there was some real
and that
design
is
innovation.
To do with inward looking, isn't it? It's making your home much more comfortable and sort of accessible, and not just somewhere that you're. And again, so you can take photos of it and stick it up on the internet.
Yeah. I think gone are the days where we are moving into a property to flip it as soon as we can. And I really think I go back to this don't move, improve mentality. And people are being really brave with their choices now and thinking outside the box. And I think it has a lot to do with social media and just the wealth of information that is out there in magazines and online. It's making customers, consumers think differently about what they like. It doesn't matter if it's on trend. If they like it, they'll do it, and they'll mix up the colours.
That's how they live their lives
like.
As well, isn't it? It's the sociological factors that come into play. So if you're in a kitchen, there's much more of a focus now on where you're going to put the recycling bins. Now, 10 years ago, you weren't having the where you're putting the recycling bins conversation with anybody. And in the bathroom, it's much more about how you use the toiletries that you have in a sustainable way and all those kind of things, of how you store things. They're the things that are really pushing from a consumer asking for them point of view, rather than a designer's deciding to try, how do I design this differently?
We're doing a feature in next month's studio looking at the different use of the bathroom. And for so long, everyone's talked about bathrooms being, you know, a spa space. It's where you go to chill out. But now you've got people like Scavolini who've got a range of furniture that you can put all your gym equipment in. So you can go into the bathroom and work out. And Vitra has done quite a lot of work with furniture and basins and sanitary ware. So it's a kind of multi-use bathroom. The idea that you almost go in there to socialise. And I'm sure we've all got opinions on how that would work. But it's an experimental angle of saying, you know, and again, getting back to perhaps you don't want technology in the bathroom, that the bathroom's the last escape. It's not just somewhere that you go to wash. It's somewhere that you go to have personal time, which isn't just lying with a scented candle in a, you know, bubble bath. You're actually working out, you're hanging out in the bathroom. And I think that could be a new direction, and that very much will influence the design of the product that goes in there.
Well, thank God, because there's one thing I'm always wondering is, where am I going to put all my gym equipment?
I'm just always wondering when I'm going to have my next party in the bathroom.
One of the questions on the BMA panel that was not asked in the end last week was, what are you bored of talking about in terms of bathroom? And my answer was going to be spa bathrooms, because I think who really wants that in the home? I think it goes much more in depth than that now. I think it's more about our lifestyle, like Andy says, but who lives in the house? How many different age brackets have you got living in that house, and how does it really function? Yes, it's got to be a relaxing space to kind of enjoy a bit of me time when you want it, but day to day, really, do you want to spend your time soaking in a spa?
No.
A lot of it as well comes down to space. And the reality is that a lot of people don't have a lot of space in their bathrooms. I mean, yeah, ideally, my bathroom would be great for quick showers in the morning, and I'd have a really nice big shower that allows me to wake up and, you know, get ready quickly. But then I'd also have a freestanding bath with, you know, freestanding taps where I can relax and have candles, a ledge, for wine or whatever.
You need a mini bar as well.
You know, and then also, you know, great, I'd love to be able to do my kettlebell workout in my bathroom as well. But, you know, at the moment, my bathroom only allows, I can't even swing a cat in there. So
no, don't do that. I don't think anyone's designed anything
I would
do
never
that.
Swing a cat, can I just say? The reality is that not most people buying bathrooms today are not going to be able to fit a gym
no,
in
absolutely,
their bathroom.
But I like the thinking around it to just see that we're moving in different directions of how we have always sort of written off the bathroom as sort of, you know, the private place that's shut away, and now
well, it's kind of the extension of the
up.
Open plan argument, isn't it? It kind of is what happened with kitchens, is the idea that the kitchen wasn't just a room, and then the next room to it was the dining room, and the next room to it was the lounge. You spread the whole thing out to become a whole sort of, God help me for using the word, but a multifunctional space. But the bathroom has very much remained the bathroom.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about is much more about open plan
at least
bathrooms,
start thinking open plan bathrooms. Yeah. Yeah.
But is that also the kind of the hotel influence coming through there, isn't it? Because, you know, that's kind of almost in some boutique hotels, there's screens that just only divide the two spaces rather than having two separate rooms. And
I think it is, and I think it also is getting back to what Lindsay was saying. It's still creating a haven, but a haven means different things to different people. I don't particularly like having baths. I like to have a shower. So for me, a wind down time is exercising or singing to my hairbrush in the mirror. And if, you know, if that's the place where I go and do that, then I don't really sing.
If it's going to be themed like a hotel is, can we get bathrooms with tea and coffee making facilities?
Tea's there.
Yes, you can if you want.
Listen,
Andrew,
I'd have
you
that
can
in
have
every
whatever
room.
You like.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it for this episode. We'll be back in your feed very soon, so make sure you subscribe. And of course, please rate and review us, as that really helps other people find us. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.